Well, thanks all. Thanks choir. Thanks children's choir. Thanks Jan. Thanks Sally. Thanks the band and I solo. I mean, just thanks for fun. So thanks for leading us in worship. I forgot to mention that we have a little gift that we'd like to give you. So on the back table at the end of the service, you'll have a chance to grab some Gateway swag. There's a coffee mug back there, and we put a little sticker in it and a pen, and so that's kind of our gift to you. Thanks for being here on this first Sunday of Gateway Community Church. We're also going to be setting out some, actually, I'm really, this might be one of the things I'm most excited about of our swag. I think our t-shirts are pretty cool, but there's these cool plastic cups that change color. Those are for the kids, all right? So, but we'll have those out too, and so just wanted to make you aware of that. I forgot to mention that earlier, so. This morning and here in the next couple weeks, we're going to unpack the vision of Gateway Community Church. And our vision is to be a church that is living life together, learning to be like Christ, to love like Christ. And what we really want to emphasize in our vision as a part of who we are as Gateway is relationships. Relationships with each other, relationships with God, and relationships with our community or the world. And it's, I think, fascinating to read through the scriptures and especially to read through the gospels and read about the ministry and the life of Jesus and to see that the way that this guy was so relational in the ways in which he encountered and engaged people. And that's sort of the place that we want to draw from as we think about what it means to be a church and how we might connect with and engage people in and through relationships. And so this morning and here in the next couple of weeks, we're going to break down our vision of Gateway Community Church into living and learning and loving. And how does that play out for us? What does it look like? What does it mean for you as somebody who might be a part of it? What does it mean for us as a church? What does it mean for our community and some different things like that? So I'm going to pray and then we're going to jump in. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have brought us here to this place, and your word promises to us that you are present, and we know that you have been present, and so we ask that you would continue to be so. Help us to be present here this morning with each other and with you, and so we pray that even if just for a moment you might remove the distractions from the past week or the week ahead so that we would hear your voice. Open our heart and our minds to your voice and to the things that you would have for us, and may your spirit be our filter so that we could set all the other stuff, all the other noise, that we might be able to just set it off to the side and so that we would hear you. Lord, I pray that your word would be fresh and new to us this morning and that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. Amen. So I would invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Luke chapter 5, or if you're taking notes. Luke chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 27 through 32. This morning, I would invite you to bring your Bibles to church. We've got Bibles there under the chair in front of you. You'll find some Bibles. If you don't have your own Bible, then take one of those. We've got some other Bibles on the back table there. Those are a gift to you that are always just there. So just take them. We want you to have a Bible. Some of you, or a lot of you now, have Bibles on your phones and your e-reader, whatever. Great. Bring those. Have those. Here in the next week or two, we're going to have our Wi-Fi system that'll be up so you can access all that stuff here on Sunday mornings or throughout the week. If you want to Facebook and tweet stuff or whatever, like, that's great. Just we want it to be really engaging and interactive and meaningful to you. And I believe that one of the ways in which that will happen is if you have scripture in whatever form, if you're old school and you rock it paper, that's fine. However, having that in front of you, I think, will be one way in which it will kind of really be engaging and interactive to you. And also then I'm not just making stuff up, and that's important. So some of it I do, but usually not when I'm reading scripture, all right? So Luke chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 27 through 32. After this, and I'm reading from the NIV. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Now, we could stop there, and that could be a sermon in and of itself, and someday it could very well be. But here's a guy who Jesus rolls up to and says, "Hey, follow me," and he does. literally leaves everything, gets up, and follows Jesus. Verse 29, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Verse 30, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Or other versions say, I have not come to call the righteous, but the unrighteous. Now, one of the things that I appreciate about the ministry of Jesus is that you can see countless examples about a guy who was willing to live life with people. And so when we talk about living this morning, and what does it mean or what does it look like to live, to be living at Gateway, as part of our living and learning and loving, you can't help but go back to Jesus and see the way in which he was willing to live life with people, even or despite or in the midst of their mess. Many of us have experienced the messiness of life. Life is messy. It can be very hard, there can be struggles, and it can be messy. And Jesus was willing to live life with people in the midst of and even meet them in the messiness of their lives. And so when we think about, well, what does it mean for us to live life together? If you look at Bible times and you think about Jesus back in the day, the table, ministry, and relationship around the table was a big deal. It was a huge deal in Jewish custom to have to connect over in relationship over the table. And so the table was seen as a place where you would reconcile relationships, where you would establish relationships, where you could maybe extend peace in some way. And so it was not uncommon to invite strangers into your home around the table. And so what I want you to think about as we talk about this idea of living life together, I want you to kind of get the image of table. And it seems appropriate that we celebrate communion this morning, not only as we begin new life together as a new church around the sacrament of the table, but that we also talk about living life together is inviting each other into life around the table. Whatever table is, right? Table could be a lot of different things in our culture today. But the idea is that in Jesus' time especially, is that relationship was happening and being formed and established around the table. And so for Jesus to not only call a tax collector named Levi, Levi, dude, come and follow me. And he goes, okay. Leaves everything he has as a tax collector and goes and follows Jesus. That's a crazy thing for Jesus to do. It's just as crazy then for Levi to invite. It wasn't really that crazy for Levi to invite Jesus to his house because, again, the importance of table, right? Hospitality and inviting someone into your life, into your home around the table. But it was crazy that Jesus showed up because you got all the religious people, the churchy people who are going, hey, guys, why does this guy go and hang out with and meet around the table with tax collectors and sinners? And you notice that the tax collectors and the sinners were sort of always talked about in the same breath. And then Jesus steps in and he goes, I've not come for those who are healthy, but those who are sick. I've not come to call those who are righteous, but the unrighteous. And if you read later in Paul's letter in Romans, one of the things that Paul talks about is that there is none who are righteous. So we should celebrate when we hear Jesus say, I haven't come to call the righteous or the super spiritual, but the ones who aren't, the ones who haven't got it figured out, the ones who are messy. Those are the people that I want to sit down at the table at and live life with. And that's part of our vision here at Gateway, is to be a church where we are a group of people who are striving and trying to live life together despite the messiness of life. Oh, I forgot my little clicker. Hey, Gabe, will you go to the next slide? I'm going to grab it. So one of the things of what it means and what it looks like to live life together is creating space for the people who don't belong. The tax collectors and the sinners, they didn't belong. No one wanted to hang out with them in Jewish culture. So back in Jesus' day, when he not only, I mean, can we think about for a second how radical it is, the idea that Jesus would call some tax collectors to be his disciples? I mean, these were the guys who were the foundation of the church, capital C, today. And Jesus connected with them, invited them in to follow him, and then goes and hangs out with their friends. And that's why the churchy people were all like, hold on. Why does this guy hang out with tax collectors and sinners? Why does he go to their home, and why does he eat around the table with them? And so when we think about what does it mean for us as Gateway to live life together, it's living life together, and it's creating space despite the messiness of life. That we might be a church for those who don't feel like don't belong. You might be sitting here this morning going, you know what, I have tried churches or I've tried to connect with church and I just have never felt like I belong. And we want to try to be intentional about creating space around the table so that any and all belong, even despite the mess. Sometimes we think that church has to be this thing where we get our mess figured out before we can walk through the doors. And that is not the example or the model that Jesus gives us. Jesus goes and engages people and establishes relationships with people and even meets with them around the table, even in the midst of their mess. One of the other things that it means for us to live life together is the way in which we invite individuals to connect with one another. And Jesus was really intentional about encouraging and challenging his disciples to be looking for ways in which they were always trying to invite and connect and draw in. Jesus was always looking to include. Living life together, as we think about what it means to invite individuals to connect with one another, is recognizing and realize that we are made to be in relationship with one another. It is just a part of who we are as human beings to be in relationship with one another. And one of the great things I think about the Christian faith is that it is also a faith, a relationship that is designed not to be done in isolation. I would argue that you cannot be a Christian in isolation. That part of what it means to be a Christian, to follow Christ, is to do it together in community. And so living life together for us as Gateway is trying to find and be intentional about inviting individuals to connect with one another. Living life together is supporting and encouraging and challenging each other through being in that community. It's being reminded that you are not doing life alone and that you do not have to do life alone. There's no doubt to me that you and I know individuals who are trying and really giving it all they got to work through and make steps through life on their own. If you've ever had times in your life when you've been trying to live life by yourself, you know how difficult that is. And living life together for us as Gateway means that we're not doing it alone. You are not designed and you do not have to do life alone. That instead we might come together and live life together. It also reminds us that we're not living life alone in the sense of the things that you do, the things that you say, are not done in a way that is in a vacuum and doesn't impact other people. And figuring out how do we do that together. So how do we lovingly, gracefully encourage each other, support each other, and challenge each other? So that as we're living life together and you see me going this way and you have to go, no, Matt, that doesn't really make sense with what we're trying to do or who we're trying to be as we follow Jesus. I mean, how often do we need people in our lives that are just gently, gracefully, lovingly kind of calling us back? when we start to stray a little bit, or we kind of start to chase after the things that we want or we think, and that we might have someone or someones as a part of our community who's kind of reaching out to us saying, hey, you're heading off in a place that I don't think you want to go. We need those people in our lives. That's why it's important for us to be reminded that we're not doing life alone. It reminds us that not only are you not doing it alone, but that you can't save yourself. We cannot save ourselves. And so as we try to do, sometimes we do this, right? Sometimes we try to do stuff on our own strength, in isolation, and we think, no, I got this. I don't need anybody. I got this. I can beat this. I can handle this. I'm good. And then the next thing we know, we stumble again. The great thing about God is his grace that picks us up when we stumble. But he always picks us up and pushes us towards holiness. The grace is there in the times when we miss it, right? But there's always sort of the push to pursue something more and what it means to be holy. And we can't do that alone. Needing community in each other is really important. Living life together is receiving grace and giving grace as we have freely received it. One of the things that I find most interesting when I talk with individuals is when we talk about this idea of grace, which is a scandalous thing, this thing that we've been given without any way in which we could ever deserve it or merit it, and that God gives it to us freely. And oftentimes, I don't know if you're like this, oftentimes it's easier for us to extend grace to the other than ourselves. And so we have something happen, some relationship, something, and work, school, home, wherever it is, whatever it is, and we find ourselves needing to extend grace to another, and it hurt. I mean, it's hard, but sometimes, you know, it's okay. Like, I can extend some grace there. But when we think about the grace that is extended to us by another or by God, we start to go, oh, that makes me feel a little uncomfortable. Especially when we think about the grace that God extends to us. Right? Have you ever had those conversations with God where you go, God, I know in my head, I know that you forgive me. Like, I know the Bible. I read some things about the Bible. I know your son died. Okay. Like, I know you forgive me. And that's cool. Like, I appreciate that. And that's great. But I got to work. I got to do some things before. God, that's really great of you that you would extend this sort of grace to me. And that's great that you've worked through that. But I got to work through this on my own too. So, you know what? I'm not ready yet, or I'm not there yet. And sometimes for us, it's important to be reminded that as we give grace, we also need to receive grace. And as Christ says, that he gives us freely so that we might also freely give. And so when we think about what does it mean to live life together here at Gateway, part of that is recognizing that there has been grace extended to us so that we might also extend grace freely. Because life is messy, right? And so if we're going to live with people, live with each other in the mess, then the grace has to show up. Because if we're going to try to live with each other in the mess without grace, I'm not sure how sustainable that will be. Pretty soon we're going to find ourselves getting pretty annoyed and frustrated with each other. But if grace can be there, even in the midst of the messiness of life, it seems like we might have a chance. And if we're reminded that grace has been extended to us so that we might also extend grace to another, we celebrate freedom, right, this weekend as a country, and Independence Day, and all those who have given and sacrificed so much so that we might understand and live in and know that freedom. There is freedom in the grace that God extends to us. There is freedom in the grace that we can then extend to another, because now no longer do we have to worry about somebody else's mess in the sense of, ooh, you did that? Ooh, you said that? Not sure that's really going to fit in here. And grace allows us to go, your mess, I'm messy. Let's try to find Jesus in the mess together. And I'm thankful that Jesus gives us a model of the way in which he meets people in their mess. And I think our sacrament of communion is a reminder in which Jesus is willing to meet us despite our mess. And invites us around the table with him and each other to celebrate that grace. And so I'd invite you, as we prepare to celebrate communion this morning for the first time as Gateway Community Church, I would invite you just to be in a moment of prayer. And whether that's a time of confession for you, and whether it's a time of thanks for the grace that is extended to you, and maybe it's a little combination of both, I would invite you to be in an attitude and a time of prayer as we prepare to celebrate around Christ's table this morning. Lord, we give you thanks for this bread and for this cup and for this table that you invite us to in and through your grace. And we're thankful that even despite the messiness of our lives, that you don't ask us to or expect us to leave our mess outside, or that we've got to get some things figured out before we can come to your table, but that you invite us, even with our mess, to bring it to your table. But then we're reminded that you also love us and challenge us to pursue what it means to follow you. And so give us your grace in those times when we are really terrible at it. And when we stumble and when we fall, that we might know and sense your hand that's picking us up. And so we pray for this bread and for this cup, that they might become for us a means of your grace and your love and your forgiveness. We give you thanks for this sacrament. And we're reminded of the night when you took the bread and you gave thanks and you broke it and you said, this is my body which has been broken for you. Take and eat and remember. And in a similar way, you gave thanks and you took the cup and you said, this cup is the cup of my blood. It's a new covenant that washes your sins away. Take it and drink it and remember. And Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the freedom that you promise in and through your Son. The love and grace that you give to us and extend to us. And so we pray that you might help us to be your bread and your cup for the world. Extending your love and your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. Lord, we pray for those who in the midst of life find themselves in a mess. Lord, use us and encourage us that we might come alongside them and be willing to walk with them even in the mess. Thank you for the model that you've given us of what it means to live life together in relationship with each other and relationship with you. You're going to be ushered to the front to receive communion. You'll receive it by intinction, which means you'll take a piece of the bread and you'll dip it in the cup. It is an open table, which means by God's grace, you are invited to come. You don't have to be a member here at Gateway. You don't have to be a United Methodist. You simply have to recognize that it is by God's grace and God's grace alone that you and I are invited to this table, even despite our mess. And with that, we are grateful and thankful and humbled by that. So I'm going to invite those who are going to be serving to come on up and help me do that.